Hi, this is Amherst Eclectic, and today we're going to talk about a subject that is in the news and a very, very debatable and debated, should I say, subject is the fact that there are schools across the country who have been doing this unbeknownst to most of the country. This has been happening, and but recently it was broadcast that a Vermont school had done this, and we're talking about putting condoms in all grades from fifth grade up, putting condoms out at the nurse's office that are available for students. And some of these schools are also putting them in the bathrooms, alongside the new thing of putting out menstruation products for people who may not be able to afford to buy those, who come from low-income families and might not have those supplies, etc. Or just to encourage young girls to come to school and knowing that the products will always be there and they won't have to be embarrassed. Or if they need something, they can go to the nurse and get it and not have to be embarrassed about it. So, I think, you know, generally all of this is really healthy. You know, again, that's what this channel is about. This is what, you know, my podcasts are about, what my page is about, is sexual education. I think the more education we have for younger people and older people is a good thing. Because I don't think a lot of people know enough about sex, as much as they should know about sex. As you know, I just don't think people know enough. And I think it's because of our failed school systems. I think it's because of our religious organizations who have always wanted to not talk about sex at all, and would forbid that their children would, you know, go to sex education classes, etc. When I was growing up, in our school district, and I lived in a larger city, but in our school district, you know, you started taking sexual education classes in the fourth or fifth grade, you know, when you hit puberty. And I think there was a certain age when that, you know, when they decided that you would take these classes. But sometimes younger kids were brought to the class because they had already started, you know, like girls had already started their menstruation, or boys were already pretty much aware of it, and they decided to send them to the classes because they were kidding around about it too much or something, and they wanted them to see that it was serious business. So I think sexual education is a good thing. I think it's good to start it at fifth grade because that's when most kids are coming into puberty, and technically, if we must be honest about it, they can become pregnant or make someone pregnant. Once it hits that situation where they can make someone pregnant, men can make, or young boys can make someone pregnant, or a young girl can get pregnant, you definitely need to start teaching them. In fact, I wish they would start teaching them before they hit puberty. Because once they hit puberty, it's too late. You gotta get to them before that happens. So not just teaching them about sexual education and how babies are made, but, you know, teaching them about their own bodies and what's happening to them. You know, these poor kids are confused until they finally get some sexual education, because a lot, I would say 90% of parents don't talk to their kids about sex. You know, I'm really open about talking about sexuality and sex with people. People will come to me privately asking me questions about sex, asking me questions about sexuality, about sex toys, what they should use in their relationships to spice it up. I mean, people are pretty open with me, but behind closed doors, because they know that I'm open about talking about things. You know, I'm not shy about it. I'll talk to you about it, because sex is natural. As George Michael's song says, sex is natural, sex is fun, sex is best when it's one-on-one. So, you know, that's a mantra that I think we should all have. You know, it's every species on the planet has intercourse in order to make babies to keep the species alive. Every species does that. We, however, have gone over the limit on making babies, which is why sexual education as humans, should I say, and that's why sexual education is even more important. And here's why I say that. And here's, you know, it's also a reason why I think that putting condoms, even putting a female and male condoms both in schools is very important. Because Do Something wrote an article about the 11 facts about teen pregnancy, right? Let's read those facts. 3 in 10 teen American girls will get pregnant at least once before the age of 20. That's nearly 750,000 teen pregnancies every single year. And that's just in America. That's just in the United States. That doesn't include any other country, right? So that's 750 more human beings on the face of this planet that didn't need to be here, that is being born to teenagers. I mean, we're already overpopulating this planet. Putting condoms in the bathroom at a school may help to stop that. And the other point I want to make about this, that's 750 teen pregnancies before the age of 20. How many of those were abortions? For all the abortion, you know, people who think that abortion shouldn't be happening, well, they'll say they don't want abortions to happen and they want to get rid of abortions. But on the other side, then they're saying they don't want their kids to be taught about sex from the fifth grade up. Well, you can't do that. You know, if you want to end abortions happening and as many abortions as possible to be stopped, if we have sexual education, if we have birth control freely distributed, if we change the attitude about sex in this country and around the world, we won't need abortions anymore, because everyone will be encouraged to wear condoms, wear female condoms, take birth control. There will be male and female birth control. And if you want the honest truth, every man on the face of this planet can get a reversible vasectomy, and that would stop overpopulation and that would stop abortions. Because, you know, if you are not planning on having children or wanting to have children, every man on the face of this planet should have a vasectomy. Vasectomies are reversible. So it stops all of those unwanted pregnancies right there. But we should still encourage using condoms, like I've said in other podcasts, because condoms curb sexually transmitted diseases. But back to my point on this, 750,000 teen pregnancies every year that may turn into 750,000 abortions. Don't we want to stop that? Don't we want to stop the fact that people get pregnant too soon in life and then go have an abortion? Or this ruins teens' lives because they end up feeling guilty, or their families, oh, they're religious and, you know, they found out their daughter's pregnant. There's no way we're having an abortion. And then this girl's life is ruined because she ends up having a kid at a very young age and is responsible for another human being that she's not ready for. And the guy runs off and leaves the teen girl alone to raise it by herself. And then she gets blamed for being the whore when maybe she was raped or date raped or whatever. Okay, so that's number one on the list, right? Parenthood is the leading reason that teen girls drop out of school. More than 50% of teen mothers never graduate from high school. So 50% of that 750,000, so what is that, 375,000, never graduate from high school. Oh, 300, I don't know. It's probably more than that, but so that is another reason to do this, to put condoms in birth control and encourage sex education every single year from the fifth grade up. I think we should have sexual education every single year and pound it into their heads. What sex is, what you don't do, how you make babies every single freaking year, so that kids are reminded, don't do these, don't have sex if you don't want to have a kid. And wear a condom if you're having sex, if you want to have a kid. And if you don't think kids are having sex, you're pretty stupid. Because the stats have been out for years that kids start having sex at 9 and 10 years old. I went to high school with people who, you know, we would find out later that they were pregnant before they even got to junior high. Or girls that were getting pregnant in junior high. And there's a lot of factors for that happening, right? They're dating older boys, or they have family problems at home, and they're looking for love in all the wrong places, and, you know, they give themselves to some guy and get pregnant, whatever. Whatever the reasons might be, there's tons of reasons that these things happen. But it changes their life forever, and not graduating from high school is not a positive. It can ruin a girl's life. Okay, so that's a lot right there. Okay, about 25% of teen moms have a second child within 24 months of having the first baby. So they obviously aren't being taught about sex. They obviously aren't being taught about birth control because within 2 years, they have another kid. And they're saddled with two human being responsibilities at a very, very young age. You know, that's the other part of sex education that should be taught, is how this is financially going to affect you long term, short term and long term, and how much it costs to raise a kid, and what kind of a job you have in order to support a child and get them to a successful life and get them to college, etc. All these stats should be talked about alongside sexual education. This is how much it costs to raise a kid, and you have to be making this much a year to raise a kid, and if you're not able to do that, you shouldn't be having a kid. People need to hear the truth, right? Even kids need to hear the truth. Knowledge is power, and sexual education is power for young kids who are sexually able to have sex and sexually active, whether you think they are or not. Okay. Less than 2% of teen moms earn a college degree by the age of 30. That's sad, because most women are smarter than most men. They've already proven that in research. Women's brains are bigger. Women are smarter. This is why women need to have a college education, because they can move on to change the world. They actually have come out with statistics saying that if more women were leaders in the world right now, we would not have a climate crisis. They've actually proven that, because of the women leaders who have are leaders and the changes that they've made in their countries. For example, Angela Merkel, she's been total climate change. Total changing things over in Germany to make sure that they come down on emissions and come down on pollution, et cetera, et cetera. She's, you know, she's been a very good leader. But also same with the prime minister in Australia, New Zealand, who are female leaders, who have also brought those countries better at a better place for climate change. So we need women out there to lead. We need educated women to be leading countries, leading organizations, leading companies, because they think about others. They don't just think about their own rise to power. They're more interested in thinking about everyone, thinking about the world at large. You know, women think differently than men, and that's why they make better leaders, and that's why they've also proven that we wouldn't have a climate crisis right now if there were more women leaders. There you go. Okay, number five, the United States has one of the highest teen pregnancy rates in the Western industrialized world. Yeah, that's right. You heard it. Everybody thinks that that's the problem everywhere else. We don't have that problem here, but you want to know why we have the problem here? All the religious right organizations. And we're not just talking about Christians. I'm talking about Islam, Muslim, Hindu, all of these religions who don't want to talk about sex, don't want their kids being taught sex education, and don't want birth control offered at schools because of their religious beliefs. So don't blame it all on the Christians. It's not just the Christians. It's all the religions in this country that go to bat. They use Christians as their front, but they're right there behind them saying the same thing. That's why we have the most pregnancies in the Western industrial world. Because we're constantly fighting against these religious right kind of people who don't want to teach their kids sexual education. And, you know, they want to preach against abortion, but they don't want to teach your kids about sex. I mean, you know, that's out of whack. You got to teach your kids about sex. Okay. In 2011, the teen birth rate in the United States fell to the lowest level recorded in nearly 70 years of tracking teen childbearing in 2011. In 2008, the teen pregnancy rate among African American and Hispanic teen girl ages 15 to 19 was over 2.5 times higher than the teen pregnancy rate among white teen girls of the same age group. And that was another point that they brought up in these discussions that have come up in the news, is that black and brown girls, black and brown kids, are not given proper sexual education. They don't have people who are knowledgeable enough in their schools, that, because they can't pay for people to come in because they don't have enough money as it is. Because, you know, if you live in a low income area, it's all about those taxes. This is why I think the education taxes should be spread evenly over all schools, and that the rich community shouldn't have like all of their taxes go just to their school. I think it should all go into one pot from every community from all over the country. It should all go into one pot, and then all schools are evenly, you know, distributed those funds. One school doesn't get more than the other. That way, our education system is actually fair, because right now it's not. And this is a good example of that. They can't afford to have sexual education teachers brought into the schools in the lower income areas. And it is coming out and affecting teenage boys and girls in their sexual education. Right there, you're having more pregnancies from black and brown girls. And it's that much higher. So 2.5 times higher in those communities. 8 out of 10 teen dads don't marry the mother of their child. They run. Their parents say, get them out of here. We don't want them to end up married, having a baby. We want our son to go to college. She was the whore. She did it. Let her take care of the kid. You know? I say, if a teen girl gets pregnant by the boy, the first thing you should do is take that girl over to their house and say, well, she's your family now, because this is going to be your grandkid. Now you have to take care of her. You know, we should make the responsibility go back on the parents of the boy. If your boy gets a girl pregnant, then you have to take care of the mother and the baby. They're moving in with you. Oh, watch them teach their boy sex education really fast after that, huh? Because they don't want to have the responsibility of that. But it's not that way now. They'll run the other way, and they'll encourage their son to run away from the person that he made pregnant. And that's what boys get taught from a very early age. And that's why once they get to be adults, a lot of men still do the same thing. They keep making people pregnant, and they just walk away from it. And they deny that it's their kid. So, yeah. There you go. You know, teen dads don't marry the people that they make pregnant. So, another good reason to have birth control and sex education in schools. Because both teen boys and girls are just too young to be handling this kind of stuff. A sexually active teen who doesn't use contraceptives has a 90% chance of becoming pregnant within a year. 90% chance. And there's a lot of times that you don't know your kid's sexually active. You may be some religious freak and think that you've pounded it into your kid's head. Well, most times what you've done is because you're restricting them from a natural thing, which is sex at any level. You know, there are different levels of sex. And to, you know, if you're pounding that into your kid's head and their hormones are raging and they're out there having sex, you know, it's going to be more alluring to them if you're saying they can't do it. I mean, that's how kids are. And their bodies are telling them that they should. People have to remember that this is a natural sex. The sex drive is a natural drive we all have. And particularly when we're younger, that sex drive is higher, particularly when we're just starting to have our hormones kick in. So you're telling a kid whose hormones are going crazy not to have sex? Good luck with that, because it's probably not going to happen. And I think most parents who think their kids aren't having sex are wrong. They're probably having sex. So don't be naive. Teach your kids about sex education, hand them birth control, and say, I'm not encouraging you to have sex, but in case it happens, in case there's a wild moment that you lose control, here's birth control. Anyway. All right. So number 10, more than half of all mothers on welfare had their first child as a teenager. So having a child as a teen, it puts you on welfare probably for most of your life because you have to take care of a kid. You have to have that responsibility and you're too young to get a high school education. You're too young to get a college education. So what jobs does that leave you? Jobs that don't pay enough, that aren't even livable wage, which that's a whole other subject. I think every job should be a livable wage. But, and so then you're stuck and you're on welfare. And most parents will kick girls out when they get pregnant. So they're on their own. They're not getting any help from family. In fact, 2/3 of families begun by a young unmarried mother are poor. 2/3 of families where it's a teen pregnancy, a family started that way, unmarried mother, single mother, are poor. They're under the poverty line. Teens had fewer babies in 2010 than in any year since the mid-1940s. So as we're progressing and we're accepting birth control and accepting that, you know, seeing the stats about young women, accepting that young women are allowed to be pregnant, and we're, you know, people are allowed to be single moms, they're allowed to have, you know, babies without a man in their life, because, you know, older women who are always have been looking for a man and they've never found one, that the time clock is ticking and they want to have a kid. We've accepted that it's okay to be a single mom and have a kid, or to be a single dad and adopt a kid. We've accepted that now. That used to be taboo. Only what, 30, 40 years ago. So things have progressed and it's a good thing. All right. The Chicago Public Schools have had offered condoms. I think it was back in July of 21, or it might have been 2020. They started distributing condoms and sanitary items, you know, for women, tampons and sanitary napkins. And, you know, they had a backlash about it. You know, people were not happy that there wasn't going to be sex education before their kids were given condoms in a bathroom or at a nurse's office. But what I think people don't understand is if it's encouraged for them to use the condoms, if they're getting sexual education in school, then you're going to limit how many of those kids get pregnant. But there was a backlash. at these schools, and but they did it anyway, all across Chicago public schools. Every school had, it was a rule that from fifth grade up, they had to provide condoms. Let's see, under the CPS policy, Chicago public schools, that teach fifth grade and up must maintain a condom availability program as part of an expanded vision of sexual health education. That means all but a dozen, which enroll only younger grades, which means under fifth grade, of the more than 600 CPS schools will have condoms available, as well as sanitary tampons and sanitary napkins for periods. The idea was years in the making, and though it may come with some controversy, was what many experts agreed was a step in the right direction for student health, CPS top doctor Kenneth Fox said in an interview last week. Until now, principals have had massive leeway to use their own discretion on sexually related education and resources. This comes from Chicago Sun-Times. Young people have the right to accurate and clear information to make healthy decisions, said Fox, a pediatrician of 30 years, and they need access to resources to protect their health and the health of others as they act on those decisions. Preventing bad stuff is key, CPS top doc says. Essentially, what we want to do is make condoms available to students for if and when they think they need them. When you don't have those protections and don't make those resources available, then bad stuff happens to young people. You have elevated risk of sexually transmitted infections, of unintended pregnancies, and that's preventable stuff. Exactly. It's preventable. Why wouldn't parents want their public schools to prevent pregnancies and to help them in that area? You know, they're helping to educate your kid from kindergarten up into 12th grade. Why not educate them sexually? Okay. To start, elementary schools will get 250 condoms, and high schools, many of which already make them available, will get 1,000. I think even when I was in school, I think they were available in high school, in junior high, to be honest. They didn't tell the parents about it probably, but I think they were readily available. The Chicago Department of Public Health will provide the condoms at no cost to the district as part of the city's effort to prevent teen pregnancy, HIV, and other sexually transmitted diseases. When a school runs out, principals will be told to request more from CPS and CDPH. So they're pretty serious about this, and they're willing to keep providing the condoms. And, you know, this is also something that Planned Parenthood has been pushing for years to do. You can go to Planned Parenthood and get free condoms. They give them out all the time. So if there's any Planned Parenthood around you and you don't have this in your school, young people, go to a Planned Parenthood and they will help you with free condoms, both male and female. And they I think they even provide free birth control if you need it, because they would rather you take birth control and use condoms than get pregnant. So they are allowed to give you those things without telling your parents. Just like going to get an abortion, you don't have to have your parents' permission. I don't think yet. I think some places you do, some states you do. But at a certain age, I don't think you have to have your parents' consent. I'm not sure, but I think that was part of it. Anyway, oh, excuse me, I'm yawning. Schools will get a letter from Fox explaining the policy to parents, and principals will receive guidance for where to store the condoms and how to operate the program. The condoms should be in easily accessible locations in the school while also not too out in the open, and there's still privacy for students who don't want to be seen grabbing the condoms. From what I understand, they were going to put them in bathrooms and also give them to nurses at the nursing station, but a lot of schools can't afford nurses nowadays either, so they're probably just going to leave them in bathrooms. So that's just part of the subject. There's more. There's a couple more articles I wanted to go through. So we'll hit that on the other side of the second portion of this podcast, talking about giving and providing condoms to kids from fifth grade up. And whether you agree or not, it's a pretty good idea. So I'll see you on the next, the second portion of this episode 2, Amherst Eclectic. Hi, Amherst Eclectic. Back to talk about the new ruling in several states where they're having condoms put in schools for fifth grade and up, which, again, I think is a really good idea. And I don't think it's something new. I think it's something that's been done. I mean, I can remember we had them at our school. They were offered at our school, which I always thought was a really smart move on the part of our school district to do that. But we also had such a sex education from the fifth grade up. And they did have health education every year that we had, were required to take, and they would, you know, continue the sex education into health education. So maybe we were just more progressive than a lot of these schools, because I can't believe there are any schools nowadays who don't offer sex education from the fifth grade up. All right. We were talking about Fox at the school and, you know, how they were putting the condoms in private areas in Chicago. Fox said, I would expect that not everybody is going to be completely on board right from the start, but I do think society has changed. No kidding. Ask why fifth grade was the target year. Fox said the decision was it was informed by a developmental understanding of children. Well, that's when such education starts, in the fifth grade. That's when puberty starts. So why wouldn't you start providing it for those kids at that age? And I don't care what anyone says. Kids are having sex at that age. Not many, but they are. And there's also, you have to weigh in on the fact that there are kids at home that are being sexually molested. And to be honest, to be able to grab a condom and maybe encourage their molester to put one on might actually save them from getting pregnant by a father or an uncle, or and then having a kid with Down syndrome to take care of for the rest of their life. I mean, you got to think about this kind of stuff, people. It's not fun to think about that, but, you know, kids are being sexually molested at home by their relatives, by their parents, friends, etc. And maybe this might be an outlet for them as well to keep from getting pregnant. I mean, you got to be honest about that. Okay, understand their children's development, right? In alignment with the standards, state standards, CPS Sex Ed curriculum includes lessons on puberty, hygiene, gender identity, relationships, sexual harassment, birth control, abstinence, and prevention of sexually transmitted diseases. And I'm sure that they also talk about, you know, if anyone is being sexually molested at home, this is wrong. And that's why they want to start sex education earlier, because they want kids to understand that if this is happening to them, if they are being sexually molested by a relative or a friend or whatever, it is not right. It is not normal. And they want them to be able to come to them and talk about it. So that's why sex education is also a good reason to start in the fifth grade. CPS stresses that choosing to not have sex is the norm for fifth graders. Parents and guardians should not be notified by their school if a condom demonstration will be provided. Or should be. Yeah, they will be. Excuse me. They will be notified by the school if a condom demonstration is going to be provided. And you should want your kid to see that. You should want them to know how to put on a condom. You should want them to have availability to condoms, because if you don't want your kid getting pregnant in their teens, they need to be taught this stuff, right? Parent education will be key to making families comfortable, and so will staff training, so educators can have discussions with parents, since local schools are likely to be the first stop, right? Expert providing condoms does not encourage their use. So an experts say this. Scott Bratt, an outreach and education director at the Chicago Women's Health Center, said there will be plenty of parents who don't believe this program is right for their family, and it'll be the district's responsibility to listen to those concerns and offer direct communication about what condom availability does and doesn't mean, right? I want to be really clear that the existence of condoms does not mean that all students are going to be using those condoms or encouraged to use those condoms, Brett said. The idea is to say we are educational centers, we are community health centers, essentially, and we know to invest in young folks' health and well-being by providing comprehensive sex ed. It means we also need to provide the resources. We want students to come to us to have access to those condoms for free, as opposed to potentially having to find them elsewhere or choose not to use condoms because they're embarrassed to go buy condoms, right? It is about recognizing that school is investing in young people's health. Bratt said there's no evidence to suggest access to condoms will lead more students to decide to have sex. The idea is that those who are already making those decisions to have sex will now have an easier way to protect themselves with condoms. It's a harm reduction approach, Bratt said. The Women's Health Center is one of 28 organizations, including local hospitals, that CPS consulted through a sexual health advisory committee created in 2019. The district said faith leaders from different religions and parts of the city were also engaged. So they also brought in faith leaders from all over the city. In addition to condoms, CPS sexual health policy calls for free menstrual products and at least one bathroom in every school. State lawmakers in May passed legislation requiring menstrual products in school bathrooms, despite Republicans' objections about tampons, pads, or cups being available to transgender boys in male-designated restrooms. Fox said offering free menstrual products was a matter of equity and justice because many don't have access for financial reasons or so-called period poverty. Brett said that they can lead to people missing school while menstruating, a dire educational impact, and added that it's important to provide resources to those who menstruate, so no matter their gender or identity. CPS is doing things backwards, parents say. Maria Serena, whose daughter is heading into her sophomore year in high school, said condoms would be a helpful resource as long as sex education is up to par. Well, I mean, that's why they start teaching sex education in fifth grade. So it's up to par every year. But Healing to Action, a grassroots organization that works with the organization, or the address that the root cause of gender-based violence and advocates for improved sex education, has found that isn't the case. The group has said it discovered through 2018 public records requests that 70% of CPS schools weren't properly implementing the existing sex ed requirements, with schools that serve majority Black and Brown students disproportionately falling short. And this is what I discussed before: Black and Brown communities, poorer communities that don't have the tax money, aren't getting a proper sex education teacher brought into the school, or they're not paying their staff enough to actually do the sex education themselves. Healing to Action also criticized CPS new sex ed policy in December, saying it doesn't do enough to ensure qualified educators are teaching sexual health and doesn't provide parents with enough resources to have the conversations with their children at home. Teachers now will be required to undergo 90 minutes of training to earn four-year certificates for sex ed. Previously, it was only 60-minute training sessions. Serrano, a parent advocate working with the Health to Action, said education and communication have to come before condom availability. She only knew about the new program because of her advocacy work, but has heard no communication from CPS as a parent, which I can understand that. I can understand why the school wouldn't, like, run out and tell all the parents, they're trying to prevent pregnancies. They're trying to keep keep it kind of private for the kids who aren't telling their parents they're having sex, because they're trying to prevent these kids from getting pregnant. And they don't want parents to get all freaked out about the fact that they're offering condoms. They'll tell them. But in the end, they're really doing the right thing, because these kids aren't going to go to their parents and talk to them about sex education. So they're trying to make sure the kids get the education at school and are provided with condoms so that they don't get pregnant. My question is, oh my God, how is it that CPS wants to give condoms to kids? Serena asked in Spanish. They are 10 years old, 11, 12. They are kids. So why is CPS thinking about providing condoms? Why not provide them information and at the end give them the resource of condoms when they are prepared to use the resources they want to provide? For me, this isn't the best option. They are doing it backwards. Well, I disagree with her. I don't think they're doing it backwards. I think they know kids are having sex, so they're giving them condoms. So for the kids who are having sex, they're protecting them from sexually transmitted diseases and or getting pregnant. So I think it's a smart move, and I think it's a realistic move in today's environment. And I think that this has always been an issue, you know, even before people were willing to accept it. At least now, some people are getting ready to accept the fact that your kids are having sex and you don't know about it. And you better let the school step in, because the kids aren't going to listen to you. They're too embarrassed to talk to their parents about sex. But they just may listen to sex educators at school. So, you know, let them have that option. I mean, I wouldn't care how my kid... Well, I would care how my kid learned about sex, yes. But if I would prefer it to be through a sex educator, if it's not going to be for me. And I'm pretty open about talking about sex. I could talk to a kid about sex. It wouldn't bother me. But it would probably bother that kid. So if they feel better going to a nurse or a sex educator at school, I would prefer that, yes, they do that, so that they get educated about sex and sexually transmitted diseases, right? And birth control. Serena said parents in her little village neighborhood may be shocked to find out about the condom program because they have very little information and their kids aren't all getting quality sex education, which that goes back to, you know, she's Spanish, brown communities aren't getting the sex education that they're supposed to. Why not educate us as parents? In my case, I come from Mexico. It's taboo for kids to talk to their parents about these topics, which, you know, widely Catholic country, right? And they're not allowed to, you know, in the Catholic religion, it's a sin to masturbate, which is ridiculous. But it's also a sin to talk about sex. It's a sin to think about sex. It's a sin to have sex outside of marriage. Well, unfortunately, I think time and history has shown many, many people have sex out of marriage. And many, many people have sex when they're too young. So this needs to be done. So in communities that are majority Latino, we are not prepared to talk about these topics with our kids, which is fine and good. But your kids are having sex. You better learn how to talk about it. And you better learn how to talk about it fast, or you're going to have a grandkid coming when your kid's 14. You know, I mean, I don't understand people. You have to do what you need to do to keep your kids from getting pregnant. You have to give them the knowledge, give them the education, sexual education, or you're going to end up having a grandkid at too young of an age. Right? I mean, before your child is even fully an adult, which is not good. It's not good for kids to be having kids. All right, this is the government.org site, the National Coalition of STD Directors. And they have done an article on the importance of condom availability in sexual health services. They said, in honor of the STD Awareness Month, NCSD has asked colleagues across the country to contribute articles on various topics related to STD prevention, testing, and treatment. Condoms being available in schools can be an extremely important part of many young people's lives. That's how they start this off. Many students want to be sexually active, but they aren't ready for a child. And of course, they don't want to get an STD. Condoms being located in schools provides for students who otherwise wouldn't have access. There are many reasons a student might not have access to condoms. For example, some parents are very strict and want their children to abstain from sexual activity. Other students might not be able to afford condoms. In schools, students are allowed to receive an unlimited amount of condoms for free. Purchasing condoms can also be embarrassing for young people. Many students say that picking up a few condoms from a school is much easier than going to the store because no one looks at you funny. Think about this. If a student wants to engage in sexual activity, but they don't want to buy condoms on their own and there are no condoms in their school, they might have unprotected sex. You think so? I think so. Having condoms in school helps prevent pregnancy and STDs because it gives students a stress-free environment to receive condoms. Good all around. Good all around. In addition, no one is born knowing how to properly use a condom. They have to be taught this information. As previously mentioned, many parents don't want their children to participate in sexual activities, so they won't teach them how to properly use contraceptive. I mean, you can't do that. You have to put the cart before the horse. You want to teach your kids before they have sex. That's the idea, parents. Wake up, get into reality. You better do it or you're going to have a teen pregnancy. At school, when students are given a condom, they are also taught how to use it properly so they can prevent pregnancy and STDs. Condoms are only effective if they're used properly. Giving students condoms in schools allows them to receive the accompanying education that will then allow them to make safe decisions for themselves and their partners. So yes, they may be teaching kids in class how to use a condom, but along with that, they're giving them much needed sexual education on how to prevent pregnancies, how to prevent STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. Lack of sexual health information can lead students to make bad decisions that can impact their health and their futures. There is a lot of pushback against including sexual health services in schools. Principals cannot find the time and parents are not comfortable with the topic. But the fact of the matter is that kids our age are sexually active and many don't know what they are doing. So this was a young person who wrote this. The best way to mitigate the issue of ignorance is to provide sexual health services that help youth feel comfortable asking for condoms and advice in a safe space where we know no one will judge us. So kids feel judged by their parents, and I'm sure they would be. I mean, I guess if my kid was told young and having sex and told me, you know, I might be a little judgmental about that. You know, anybody would be. You know, they'd be shocked because they think their little baby is still a little baby, and then they find out they're having sex. I mean, I guess that would be a shock to many parents. But, oh, goodness. Such services also give students the opportunity to learn about sex in a controlled environment rather than just having to go out and learn about it from their own experiences. They can learn about sexually transmitted diseases and infections, how to have safe sex, how to prevent uncomfortable sexual situations, and more. So that's the other part of this sex education is they teach both male and female, no means no. They teach boys, you don't keep pushing girls. When a girl says no, it means no. Stop. Get off of her. Leave her alone. She doesn't want to have sex with you. And unless somebody is saying a resounding yes, yes, please, let's have sex, you shouldn't be having sex with them. Because then that's assault. If you push yourself on someone. The school nurse can be a great provider of sexual health services. He can deliver health information, help students find locations to get tested, hold awareness activities such as school health fairs, and of course, make condoms available. So this is something the government supports as well, is making condoms available, making sex education available. You know, the problem you run into with schools across the country are private schools. Private schools will sometimes say that they're not going to provide sexual education because they can do what they want to. It's their school. They have to abide by what the parents want, blah, blah, blah. So a lot of these religious private schools will then not provide the sexual education to these kids, and then they're going out blind into the world, or they're going out blind when they go on a date with somebody, you know, don't, you know, that on maybe someone who has been told by their parents about sex, knows more about sex, but they don't because they have a religious parent who won't talk about it, won't support sexual education at school, won't give them birth control. I mean, I would have no problem giving a kid of mine birth control. In fact, if they came to me and asked me, I would take them down to Planned Parenthood and get them all set up. Because to me, if a kid is coming to you asking you about sex, about Planned Parenthood, it's either because they're thinking about having sex or they're already having sex. So you want to get in there and, you know, not judge them for that, not pry into their private, you know, relationships with other people. It's really none of your business. That's between them and somebody else. Even though your parent, you're their parent. I know a lot of parents are controlling and think that everything their kid does is their business. I don't think that way. You know, whatever your kid does outside your doors is their business, but you know, they don't have to tell you anything, you know, but you want to make sure you get in there and make sure that if they're going to have sex, or if they get in a situation where they lose their head, at least in that one moment, they might get their head together enough to put a condom on either their penis or their partner's penis, so that they don't get pregnant. If we just make this normalized, if we just normalize sex education and we normalize birth control, we can cut down on 750,000 teen pregnancies a year. And not to mention, if we, you know, are getting this into kids' heads from fifth grade all the way up, when they become adults, then adults will be more responsible in their sex life. More people will use condoms. And I know you hear a lot of guys say, if I wear a condom, it doesn't feel any better. It just, you know, I can't feel anything. That's bullshit. They can feel things, you know? And there are condoms made. I know they make condoms that are specifically made so that men can feel more, or that there's massage things on the inside of the condom and the outside of the condom, so there's pleasure for both people. So there are other ways around it. You know, sex is pretty basic, you know, and as long as the guy has an erect hard penis and you're both excited, it really doesn't matter if you have a condom on or not. You're both going to have a lot of fun having sex, whether you have one on or not, right? So you might as well have one on, because I've even said this in past podcasts, and I will say this now. Even if you're in a committed relationship with somebody, it doesn't mean that they're not out fooling around on you. So whoever they sleep with, then you sleep with, because if they're spreading a sexually transmitted disease, they're spreading that sexually transmitted disease to you. And nowadays, you know, yes, there are sexually transmitted diseases that have always been kind of deadly if you don't find out about them soon enough. But HIV and the different things that are out now that are sexually transmitted, HPV, which can cause cancer, you know, you just don't want to be messing with this stuff. So it's better to wear condoms so that you don't take the chance that someone else might give you HPV, HIV, or some sexually transmitted disease, right? So it's really smarter to insist that your man puts on a condom, or it's really smarter as a man to put on a condom, because there's just too many unknowns, and you never know if someone's being totally honest with you or not. Why take that risk? I mean, you know you're being honest, right? But you don't know that your partner's being honest all the time. And there's been so many people who've cheated on people, so many people who've had affairs and never told their spouses about it, et cetera, or boyfriends, girlfriends about it. You know, there's so many times when people just lie right through their teeth. And, you know, that's just the human condition, I guess. But you want to make sure that you're protected. You may trust your partner, but you cannot trust somebody 100%. I'm sorry, humans are fallible. And it's better to take those precautions for yourself, as well as for them, but for yourself, mostly. You know, I know people who've been in committed marriages and were convinced that their partner wasn't cheating, and then found out their partner had been cheating for years. And it wasn't just with one person. They had been hopping around to different people. And then they're coming home and putting, you know, having sex with you without a condom on, risking your life because they don't know if they have a disease or not. 9 times out of 10, they're not getting checked by a doctor because, you know, they're in a committed relationship. They don't think they need to get checked, even though they're fooling around. And that would put up a red flag to their partner if they were constantly going to the doctor and getting checked. I mean, I've been in a relationship where I found out someone might have, I'm not even sure, but might have gone off with somebody else sexually before breaking up with me. And the first thing I did was go to the doctor. I mean, it may or may not have been true. It may have, the person told me that they didn't, but just as a precaution, I went to the doctor. And many times after each relationship that I've ended, where I've had a sexual relationship with someone, I'll just go to the doctor just out of precaution and make sure that something wasn't going on in my relationship that I didn't know about, right? So, you know, there's always a reason that you end a relationship, and, you know, it's probably because it's going sour. Well, maybe it was going sour because somebody else was involved, you know? So you always, when you end a relationship, you always want to get yourself checked to see that there wasn't any sexually transmitted diseases brought from that relationship. And then once you're checked, then you know, okay, if anything does come up later on, it wasn't from that person. It was from somebody else, right? So, yeah. Like, if you have a one-night stand, the first thing you need to do is go to get checked, you know, and if you didn't use condom, even if you did use condom, I think even if you did use condom, you still want to check with people that you're just meeting and having sex with and leaving. Not saying there's anything wrong with that. Some people can handle that kind of stuff. I cannot, but so there's lots of reasons why everyone should wear a condom. Every single time. Even if you're married, I think you should be wearing condoms. Because you never know if your spouse is cheating on you. And it only takes one time for you to get a deadly disease. I mean, it's sad, but true. But it's more to the point why we should be having condoms in schools. Because, God, you wouldn't want something like that to end a kid's life. You know, a sexually transmitted disease that maybe they got from a kid who's being molested by an adult. And then they're coming and having sex with your kid. And then that kid transmits that disease to your kid. I mean, talk about a nightmare. So there's so many reasons why having condoms and sexual education in schools is very, very important. You know, we can cut down on abortions, we can cut down on sexually transmitted diseases, and we can cut down on unpredicted pregnancies. Wake up, parents. This is what needs to be done. Quit fighting it. This is natural. This is what happens. Everybody has sex. Everybody has the drive to have sex. Accept it and realize that this is the best road going forward. And then we can cut down on the huge population boom as well. This has been Amherst Eclectic. Until the next time.